Thank you. Good morning. What wonderful music. What a blessing. What a gift of God's grace that He's chosen to give us that music to use in celebrating and remembering. You can open your Bibles to probably the Gospels. That'd be a good place. Most of the Christmas texts are there, and we'll be jumping around a little bit today. I'm standing up here in the remains of the stable with the drum set and the microphones. I want to thank the children again for a great program. So many of them just filling the front. And I want to say to you, children, there are some people who would call you the future of this church. You are not the future of this church. You are the present. You are part of the present church. And today, you served, you ministered. God used you. And so we thank you for that. Did anybody drive through the Embarrassed Cemetery last night? Oh, great. Wasn't that meaningful? It's a wonderful tradition. It's a wonderful tradition. And last night was perfect. No wind, all the candles were burning. And 21 degrees, it couldn't be more perfect. And, you know, it's Christmas time. It's a Christmas tradition that we have here in Embarrass. And yet, as we drive through that cemetery with our headlights off, just by candlelight, it is so meaningful to spend time remembering those who have passed on. And taking that quiet moment to thank the Lord for them and for their memories. And yes, you can think about death at Christmas time. And some of you are really thinking about death at Christmas time because you're grieving. In the last year, you have said goodbye for now to someone very close to you. And Christmas kind of brings that back, doesn't it? And that's okay. That's okay. God has your back and we have your back and we'll be praying for you. And we're going to talk about death this morning as we talk about the birth of Jesus. We have to talk about death when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. Would you stand with me as we pray and then we'll go into our message. Oh, our Father, it's so good to be here. We as your children celebrating your love that you demonstrated, not just in sending Jesus to that stable to be born into this world, but then in sending him to the cross. Father, we thank you for the salvation that was purchased there. And those of us who have trusted you for that salvation, we are so thankful at this time of year. And Father, I pray that you would minister to us now through your word, as we're reminded of these important things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So why was Jesus born into this world? We're talking about that whole concept of being born during this Christmas season. The scripture alludes to a number of reasons why Jesus was born into this world, why he came as a human being. First of all, he came to seek and to save the lost. Scripture tells us that. It tells us he did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. It says he came to set the captives free. It says he came to reveal the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to show us what the Father's like. And he came to live for 33 years on this earth as a human being, and set an example of a godly life. But none of those really are the primary reason Jesus came. Jesus was born into this world to die. He was born to die. The angel came to Joseph before Jesus was even born, told him about the birth and said you should name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. He's going to save his people from sin. And then after Jesus was born in that stable, as we heard this morning, the angel said to the shepherds, a Savior has been born. A Savior. Now, to be a Savior of sinners, to save sinners from their sin, there has to be a death. If you understand Scripture from start to finish, if you understand God, the Holy God, and you've read what He says in His Word, in order for Jesus to save people from their sins, in order for Jesus to be a Savior, He had to die. So He was born to die. Here's a question. What part of God's salvation was accomplished in the birth of Christ? The answer is none. Not one part of salvation was accomplished in the birth of Jesus Christ. God's salvation was accomplished in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The birth of Christ didn't pay sin's penalty. The birth of Christ is not what satisfied God's justice. The birth of Christ is not what brings forgiveness of sin. The birth of Christ did not reconcile sinners to God. The birth of Christ did not bring the hope of eternal life. The Bible says those things came through what? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why He was born. He was born, He came into this world so that He could 33 years later die as our substitute, paying our penalty for sin, and then rising again to conquer death, to give hope eternal. So He was born to die, so He could be the Savior, so He could save sinners. That's the primary reason. Now here's the question. Did Jesus know that? Did Jesus know that was His reason? That He was born to die? Turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. Jesus is speaking here to His disciples. It's a different subject, but notice what He says about His coming and the reason for it. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. That's Jesus saying that He came to give His life. Turn over to chapter 8 of Mark. 8:31. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that He must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. This is Jesus telling His disciples this. And He's telling them He must suffer. He must be rejected. He must be killed. That's Jesus speaking. Turn to John chapter 10. John 10. Notice the end of verse 15. Jesus says, "And I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 17. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." You see that phrase, lay it down? That's death. And Jesus is talking about him laying down his life, his death. And he says, "I am going to do that of my own accord when I choose. No one's going to take my life from me. It's not going to be something that is unexpected. It's not going to be something that kind of messes up the plan." He says, "I will lay down my life of my own accord when I choose." That's Jesus talking. John chapter 12. John 12. Verse 27. Jesus speaking. "Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour." Verse 32. "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And then John tells us he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. He's talking about his death. And he's saying, "Father, should I ask that this just kind of pass and we not go through with it?" His answer is, "No, I came for this very reason." What reason? To be lifted up, to die. Did Jesus know he was born to die? Of course he did. He knew. He knew that's why he came. He knew that's why he was born. Well, here's a couple questions. When did he know? And when did he come to know? How did he come to know that he had been born to die? And we can have all kinds of stimulating conversations about those questions, can't we? But it really doesn't matter, because no, he knew. From the scriptures we see, he knew. When he knew exactly, how he came to know, if he always knew. You can sit over coffee and enjoy discussing that. But we know from these scriptures that before it happened, he knew. And he calls it the reason he came to die. So, Jesus Christ, the Savior, was born. He came into this world born in human form. And so there in that manger, Jesus, baby Jesus, had these tiny little feet. You ever played with babies' feet? Isn't it cool to just look at babies' feet and see those little teeny toes? They're actually human toes. They're just teeny. Jesus, born in the manger, those little feet, kicking, right? Kicking. 33 years later, those feet stumbled along a road from Jerusalem to Calvary. And those feet had a spike driven through them into a cross. There in the manger, Jesus was born, little baby Jesus, with those tiny little hands. You've seen them. Little soft hands with fingers and even fingernails. Isn't it amazing? And Jesus in that manger, I'm sure those hands were going. And even at times when he was crying, you know how babies make a fist? Even when they're babies, they make a fist. Okay? That little pair of hands. 33 years later, those hands were nailed, stretched out to a cross. Same hands. There in the manger, Jesus, born as a baby into this world, had that tiny baby face. And that face had every part it's supposed to have. Two eyes, a nose with two nostrils, a mouth with lips. Just off to the side of the face, a couple of ears. Little baby face. 33 years later, blood was running down that face from a crown of thorns that had been placed on the top of his head. In the manger, Jesus was born, came into this world as a baby. And there were those tiny eyes, probably blurry at first with some film, you know, but then pretty soon with those little eyes looking around at this stable and closing in gentle sleep in the manger or in Mary's arms. 33 years later, those same eyes would look down from the cross and see soldiers gambling for his clothing. See people mocking him, laughing at him. See his mother standing there with John. Same eyes. In the manger, Jesus, born as a human being, as a baby, with that tiny little mouth, those lips, cooing, crying, yes, perhaps hollering, sucking. 33 years later, that same mouth from the cross was saying things like, my God, why have you forsaken me? Today you will be with me in paradise. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. It is finished. Same mouth. Same lips. And there in that manger, where Jesus was born into this world as a little human baby, he had that little heart, that little tiny heart, rapidly beating, giving him life, pumping new blood throughout his little body. And 33 years later, on the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished," that heart, that same heart, stopped. And he died. Jesus was born to die. Because he was born to save the world from their sins. He was born to be the Savior. He was born to be that sacrifice. To die. Does this truth that I've just reminded you of put a damper on our celebration? You know, what's the pastor doing? What a downer. This is supposed to be Christmas. Does that truth put a damper on our celebration? Of course not. We who understand the significance of the death of Christ, we who have experienced the forgiveness, the reconciliation, the relationship with God through the salvation provided on the cross and in the resurrection. That truth doesn't dampen our celebration. It should enhance our celebration. Because if it weren't for the death of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be celebrating His birth. We wouldn't. Because the birth didn't do any of those things. It didn't accomplish salvation. It simply brought the Savior into the world. It was the death and the resurrection that accomplished our salvation. And that's why we celebrate the birth. That's why we celebrate. He was born to die and be that sacrifice. And so we celebrate. Does this truth take away our Christmas joy? You know, we celebrate, but maybe it kind of squashes the joy part of the celebration? Of course not. You ever heard of the joy of salvation? The joy of forgiveness? The joy of knowing you're at peace with God? The joy of having a hope beyond this life? With Jesus, that was accomplished through the death and resurrection. He was born into this world for that purpose. Of course we celebrate with joy. Because we know that. We know that. Without the death and resurrection of Jesus, the world would have to find something else to celebrate at this time. They'd have to figure out another holiday. Because if it's only about the birth, it's no big deal. Many Jewish babies were born throughout history. We celebrate Christmas because of why He was born. What happened 33 years later in the death and resurrection. Right now, the world just kind of piggybacks on us. Right? They don't know what's going on. They've got a holiday. And they're piggybacking on we who know what we're celebrating. That a Savior was born. He was born to die and bring salvation. So what does this truth do for your celebration? Christmas? What part does Jesus play in your Christmas celebration? Does He play a part at all? Be honest. Even as Christian people, how much do you think about Jesus during this season? Be honest. How much do you think about Him? How much do you celebrate what Christmas is about? How much do you actually celebrate why Jesus was born? Or do we get just as caught up as the world? You know, picture this. Your family has gathered. You know, when it's us, it's 22 people and 3 dogs. So when we open gifts, there is paper a-flying. And when we're done, there are piles of paper. You know what I'm talking about, right? Picture this. Your family gathers. You open the gifts. All the gifts are open. There are piles of paper. Everyone moves into the other room to eat breakfast or whatever goodies, depending on the time of the day. And then they play games. And then finally, sometime later in the day, someone suggests maybe we clean up that pile of wrapping paper. And so you start cleaning up the piles of wrapping paper. And as you get down to the bottom, to the floor, someone finds the manger with baby Jesus from the nativity scene there on the floor. And that person lifts it up and says, "Hey, everybody, I found Jesus. I didn't even know He was missing from the nativity scene." That happens in a lot of homes, Christian homes. Jesus gets lost under everything that we do. And we don't even notice He's missing. Isn't that sad? We celebrate His birth because He was born to die. We celebrate because of why he came. What he did 33 years later and what it means to us, we who have trusted him for salvation. The salvation accomplished not in the birth, but accomplished on the cross and in the resurrection. Do you know this Jesus? Is what I've been talking about why you celebrate? Or are you one of those that just kind of piggybacks on those who celebrate what Christmas really means? Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Peter has just been talking about Jesus, talking about his death, talking about his resurrection, talking about how there is salvation in Jesus alone, talking about how by faith, amazing things happen, faith in Jesus. And then he says in verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You need a time of refreshing? Is your life in such a state that you'd have to say, that's what I need? I'm missing something. And the idea of a time of refreshing sounds like that might be what I'm missing. Tried everything else. Well, Peter said, because Jesus died, paid for your sins, you can repent of those sins and you can turn to him and experience forgiveness and a time of refreshing. A new kind of life will come. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe it's time for you to trust Jesus and receive that forgiveness, that salvation, that time of refreshing that was not accomplished in the birth, 33 years later on Calvary. That's why he came, born to die, to be our Savior. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks. This is such a great time of year, Lord. Such a great time. People are happy. And yet, Lord, so often we get caught up with so many things, and the happiness is just superficial. It's about all those extra things. And as we go through the season, we just confess, Lord, that even we as your people sometimes lose you under all the trimmings. And you're lost the whole season, and we don't even know you're missing. We are so caught up in all the other stuff. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you would send Jesus. Thank you so much that he was born into this world as a human being, that he might die and be that perfect sacrifice for our sins to provide salvation, a relationship with you, our holy Creator. I pray for those who don't know you here this morning. Oh God, if only this could be a Christmas, a turning point Christmas, where they would understand why Jesus came and that they would be willing to turn to him and experience the forgiveness of sin and that time of refreshing. May it be so, Father, in someone's life. We ask that in the name of Jesus, born to die. Amen.